Smurfs.
Yes.
Wow. All right. The more you learn, you know, you learn something new every day when you come to KAXE. So thank you for that, Jennifer. So the Smurfs, definitely, that's where the Blue Man Group got their look from.
Okay.
I mean, we can confirm that. There's probably like an episode of the Smurfs playing old PVC pipes somewhere too, and that they really ripped off their whole shtick.
That was where they got their idea, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Programming on KAXE is supported in part by the Minnesota Humanities Center, distributing more than $6 million in cultural heritage grants. Funding is available to individuals and organizations that will create, celebrate, and teach Minnesota's diverse arts, culture, and heritage, including indigenous organizations, historically underrepresented communities, and recent immigrants and veterans. Details at mnhum.org/grants.
You are listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people and land of northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Operating translator K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9. Listen at KAXE.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local media. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. Thank you.
Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to have headlines from National Public Radio and more news throughout the hour. Also coming up, 9 o'clock, as we've been mentioning, Headwaters with DJ Dang. Weather for today?
Looking like sunny, highs in the upper 40s, all the way maybe up to 50 too. So very beautiful Monday to kick off the day. We can already just see the sun is hitting the grass outside our window, going to be coming through the window and not too long, but tonight, the first chance of rain and snow late on, and then from then on, I guess, well, really at noon tomorrow, this winter storm watch goes into effect, and throughout Tuesday night, slight chance of snow before noon on Wednesday. It's looking like for a lot of that stretch, got winds, a very varied range of snow, depending on where you're at around the area. So,
yeah, and for some places that watch, I think, goes in effect at midnight tonight, and some it's like a different ranges kind of depending on where you are too for this watch.
Yep.
I imagine it will change to a warning at some point if it's really going to materialize. So just be aware.
Yep, be aware. That is what is coming up. Winter is finally here.
It's time for more from Morning Edition. Or not.
Coming up at 9 o'clock, we will hear with DJ Dang doing Headwaters. If you have any color songs you want to send in, we just got another one. Vincent, 52 Vincent Black Lightning. There we go. Red hair.
Oh, yeah.
Black jackets.
Yep.
Black motorcycles. Maybe some other colors in there. You know, I don't have all the lyrics memorized, but... what a good song that is. It's been a minute.
All right. We're going to hear a song now. I had talked about this is the song I put in Fresh Picks this week.
Nice. Yes.
It's called California. It's by the Olympians. I heard it last Wednesday morning and I was just like.
It transported you?
Transported me. I was just like, felt like the coolest person ever. It's like, I want to just like walk down the street. This would be my like theme song. It was, I love it. So we're going to hear that song right now.
Thank you. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. What does it really mean when the president breaks up with one of his loudest supporters?
Marjorie Taylor Greene went to Congress from Georgia in 2021, just in time to promote President Trump's bid to overturn his election defeat. Her comments and conspiracy theories caused even her own party to shun her at times, until she rose as a flamboyant Trump backer. That made it all the more striking when she resigned on Friday, saying the president abandoned his own agenda. In a few minutes, a Republican strategist analyzes the debate over who gets to define the GOP.
And NPR's Stephen Fowler is listening to that conversation. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning.
How exactly does Greene critique Republicans?
Well, there was this nearly 11-minute video she released Friday night that aired a wide array of complaints, including mentioning threats to her adult children and attacks led by President Trump, calling her a, quote, traitor. But I think it's really important to listen to this point she made early on.
Americans are used by the political industrial complex of both political parties, election cycle after election cycle, in order to elect whichever side can convince Americans to hate the other side more. And the results are always the same. No matter which way the political pendulum swings, Republican or Democrat, nothing ever gets better for the common American man or woman.
Greene says that American politics are not great right now, and even though Republicans have complete control of Washington, her argument is that party leadership isn't actually keen on leading.
Well, I guess this has been building up for a while. She criticized the president over his foreign policy, like when the United States bombed Iran. She questioned some domestic policies, and above all, she wanted the release of the Epstein files a lot more quickly than Trump was willing to agree to. So did she change?
Well, in Greene's view, she's not the one that changed. It's Donald Trump and others in the Republican Party who have not maintained consistency when it comes to being Make America Great Again, America First conservatives. It's also important to note that Trump has never been a traditional conservative, and his return to office was built on convincing a lot of different groups and demographics with different ideologies and priorities to unite under that America First banner, but defer to his interpretation of what being a conservative meant.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a number of instances where some of the Republican base voters this year have said, whoa, 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 that's not actually what we wanted. Like the Epstein files, where Trump went from, I will release them, to saying Republicans who want that to happen are stupid, to calling Marjorie Taylor Greene a traitor for supporting the measure, to signing the bill.
Indeed. So what's the president saying now about Greene?
Well, he told ABC News it was good for the country she was leaving. Posted on his Truth Social website that she was a traitor, again, who would have lost a primary. Then he told NBC News that he'd actually love to see her return to politics eventually, all in the span of less than a day or so.
What? Okay.
It does underscore what people have been saying about the president, both in public and behind the scenes. There are some on the right who are echoing his attacks and say about Marjorie Taylor Greene, good riddance. There are other Republicans and even Democrats in the House who say she's making some good points about things. And for what it's worth, Marjorie Taylor Greene says she would have won a primary and thinks Republicans are set to lose the midterms. Some of that feeling is backed up by voters in the district and in Georgia expressing support for her and disappointment in what President Trump is doing. And unlike plenty of clashes with more moderate Republicans who've all but disappeared from Trump's GOP, her role as this conservative stalwart inside the MAGA movement is really forcing the party to reckon more publicly and more quickly with the question of what the post-Trump GOP is going to look like.
NPR Stephen Fowler, who's reporting from Atlanta. Stephen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
For more on this, we have Alex Conant. He is a Republican strategist with the public affairs firm Firehouse Strategies. Alex, thanks so much for coming back to see us.
Good morning.
So Marjorie Taylor Greene is such a unique figure in politics, even in this era, but she's been such a strong loyalist for President Trump. Does her recent trajectory, like Steve pointed out, questioning the president's conduct, not just on the Epstein files, but on other policies, does that tell you anything about the state of the MAGA coalition?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a simmering debate within not just the Trump administration, but the Republican Party as a whole over the last several years between the MAGA coalition, as you put it, and traditional conservatives. And you see it bubble up on issues like Israel, where you have a lot of people, MAGA leaders like the Congresswoman, like Steve Bannon, who don't want America to be very involved, don't want us to be as supportive of Israel compared to the more traditional conservatives. You see it on issues like healthcare, on issues even like the Epstein files, where you have the sort of the conspiracy theorists against the more traditionalists. And you know, at the end of the day, these issues are starting to bubble up into the public. And I think what we saw over the weekend was the most vivid example of this coalition really has a lot of debate going on within it. And I think Trump is starting to struggle, just really trying to keep it together.
And what about her decision to resign? Does this strengthen or weaken or have any effect on the president's hold on MAGA?
Well, she's always been a bit of an iconoclast and frankly not all that popular within the Republican House caucus. I think the most immediate challenge is that he already has a slim House majority. He's just got one vote less. And, you know, if some of her colleagues look at her and say, geez, you know, being a member of Congress isn't all cracked up to be, and they start retiring too, he could have a real crisis on his hands just in terms of keeping the majority over the next year. You know, I think beyond that, she quit in part because he was threatening to support a primary challenge against her, and she didn't want to lose her primary. That is a tactic he has used many, many times to keep people in line. But if looking forward, him threatening primary challenges results in people just quitting, that doesn't necessarily help his cause either.
You know, that her online post and her video, I'm sure you watched it, it was also an indictment of the current GOP leadership, and she predicted that Republicans would lose the House in the midterms. And I'm just interested in your take on that.
Well, we're still over a year out. I think it's going to be a very closely fought race. You know, historically, the party in power would lose the majority, and even more so when, you know, the people aren't happy about the direction of the economy. That said, we're a long way out. Republicans feel really good about a lot of their recruits. I think the president and the White House have been more engaged in recruiting strong candidates this time than they were during his first term. So, you know, Republican insiders I talk to, Republicans running campaigns, they feel pretty bullish about our chances to keep the House.
And, you know, the congressman threw cold water on this idea that she might have resigned in order to set herself up to run for president. But can you envision a different leadership role for her in the party in the future?
Well, look, she has a very high profile. The media loves to cover her. We're talking about her right now, and I think anyone who can command media attention can command political support as well, especially in this environment. I think the 2028 Republican primary is going to be fascinating because it's going to be a real debate ultimately between, do you have an America First, MAGA-style president continue, maybe somebody like J.D. Vance, or do you have a more traditional conservative, somebody who supports Israel, somebody like Ted Cruz? I think if either of those two candidates who are both talked about running, if either of them falter, certainly somebody like MTG could see a lane. You know, whether or not she actually chose to run is anyone's guess, but I think we could end up seeing a much more competitive Republican primary than we're expecting right now, especially if Trump's political standing within the party deteriorates over the next 18 months.
Before I let you go, what do you make of his kind of turnabout on her? I mean, yes, he generally gets very upset when people criticize him, especially people he thinks are supposed to support him. Well, pretty much everybody. He becomes infuriated when people criticize him or say that he's not doing what he's supposed to do, etc. But then within the span of such a short period of time to sort of say, well, you know, I hope she'll think about a return to politics. How do you read that?
I think it's classic Trump. I mean, we saw the same thing with the New York mayor on Friday last week. I worked for Marco Rubio in a previous life. You know, you talk about two guys who really went after each other and then became best friends afterwards. You know, I think Trump is one who's quick to turn this page, especially when he wins the back and forth.
That is Republican strategist Alex Koenig. Alex, thank you so much.
Thank you.
At the G20 summit in South Africa, the countries in attendance issued a joint statement on their priorities. Think of it as the G19. Because the United States boycotted. Kate Bartlett reports on how it all worked out.
A group of singers marked the closing of the G20 summit in Johannesburg Sunday, the first meeting of the world's richest nations to be held on African soil. There's been relief that the event came off successfully, despite what many here consider the Trump administration's attempts to derail it and embarrass host nation South Africa. The country's president, Cyril Ramaphosa, hailed the meeting as a victory for multilateralism.
We've met in the face of significant challenges and demonstrated our ability to come together, even in the times of great difficulty, to pursue a better world.
At the start of the summit, all G20 members except the US issued a joint declaration focused on issues like climate change, debt relief for poorer nations, and gender equality. The Trump administration had boycotted the meeting over false claims the South African government has been persecuting its white minority. The US also objected to what it said was an agenda too focused on DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, Ahead of the summit, President Ramaphosa said he refused to be, quote, bullied.
This gavel of this G20 summit formally closes this summit and now moves on to the next president of the G20, which is the United States.
That was Ramaphosa's sole mention of the U.S. in his closing address. Usually as chair, he would hand that gavel over to the leader of the country next in line to chair the G20, Donald Trump, who will host in Miami next year. But he did not attend. Some foreign leaders criticized the U.S. absence at the event, with France's Emmanuel Macron saying it was regrettable. Many of them also praised South Africa for its chairmanship. After the summit wrapped up and world leaders came up to Ramaphosa to congratulate him, a voice was heard jokingly asking, where's the U.S.?
Where's the United States?
They're not here.
They're not here, replied Ramaphosa, to laughter from the other delegates. Kate Bartlett, NPR News, Johannesburg.
This is NPR News.
It is 8:19. Thanks for listening to the Monday Morning Show here on People Powered KAXC. I'm Jennifer Barr with Malachi Coons.
Thank you for joining us this morning. As the blue skies have come out, the sun is here. We were chatting about color songs all morning long to get ready for DJ Dang's request line coming up at 10:30. And, you know, I think like a little bit of environment affecting people's choices, Jennifer. We've had a few different ones all morning, but as soon as I would say the skies got real blue and the sun came out, we had multiple suggestions for songs about blue skies. Mr. Blue Sky by ELO. Lisa sent that one in, and Blue Skies from Willie Nelson came in from Mary in Cass Lake. So 218-326-1234. DJ Dang will be having many different songs to choose from. We won't be able to get to all of them, but keep sending in those songs about colors to drive away the November grays.
Yeah. Lisa also said Green Green Grass by George Ezra is a simple but get up and dance tune. Also Badfinger's Baby Blue. Yeah, we could do a whole day.
Yeah, Baby Blue. Yeah. It's all over now. Baby Blue. We should do that. Just blues. What would be the, you know, what's the next easiest one? Maybe green or red.
I would say
red.
Really?
Green? I don't know.
I would say
angry.
Green.
Like angry songs. Red's kind of an angry color. You're right. Probably green. It's definitely green.
Yeah.
Maybe purple though. There's a lot of like mood indigo kind of things.
Purple rain.
Maybe I'm just thinking of the one jazz song. But you're right. Oh, purple rain. Duh.
Yeah.
And purple and gold.
The one I'm trying to think of.
Yeah, whatever it is.
I don't know. I just can hear just a little bit of it. And it's like, it was a really fun song. And now I just can't get it back.
Purple Drank. Got loads of songs about that. That's probably not appropriate for radio, but then there would be tons of purple songs. So send them in 218-326-1234. Dan's going to be hosting from 9 all the way to 11 this morning. Again, coming up at 1 o'clock, your host for On the River, Todd and Tiffany Swenson, and then DJ the DJ hosting tonight from 7 until 10 p.m.
Support for KAXC comes from the Watermark Art Center in downtown Bemidji with exhibits, classes, and handcrafted original art made by regional artists in their shop 505. The center is accessible and open to the public. WatermarkArtCenter.org.
Support also comes from Edward Jones financial advisor Christina Gallis, helping individuals and business owners reach their financial goals. More information at EdwardJones.com. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
So looking at our current temperatures right now, it looks like we've got a range of 28 in Bemidji to 33 in Hibbing right now. Everyone falling somewhere between those temperatures. And going to be a beautiful day. I think this is the get out and enjoy it while you can day.
Yes, the last day before the snows arrive and everything. So I definitely will be getting outside. Maybe my final frolf of the year.
Oh.
Our disc golf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Once the snow comes, it's a lot harder to find your frisbee, your disc. So today could be the final day. But let us know what you're up to today. And as you're listening to KXC, listening to songs about the colors, it's actually a good day for it because it is not a just an overcast gray day. It's from what we can see, bright blue skies, sun shining.
Yeah, I think DJ Dang wanted to combat the November grays, but yeah, we've got a nice sunny day today with highs 45 to 50, light wind. The wind was a little intense at times over the weekend, so it's nice we've got that down for right now anyway. It's coming back, but and then our chance of rain or snow mix comes in late tonight, early morning hours perhaps, with our lows 29 to 33, and then this winter storm watch in effect. For most of the area from noon tomorrow until noon on Wednesday, but little variations there depending on where you are. Again, the amount of snow, very variable as well, 3 to 10 inches. Winds gust up to 35 miles per hour, but do plan on slippery road conditions as this storm is happening.
Yeah, and then looking ahead after our storm, after the holiday, there's a lot of music in and around the area this weekend. Lots of different noteworthy shows coming to town. So just wanted to give you a little preview of these. We'll dig into it more with the set list a little later on in the week. But on Friday night, Brothers Burn Mountain will be in Grand Rapids. They are playing at Clock Oak Brewing. Doyle Turner and Sarah Morris are going to be at the Popple Bar in La Porte Friday night. Nate Boots and Mal Murphy Friday night at Rapids Brewing. I just played a song from Mal on Minnesota Mixtape last week. She's a Rochester songwriter who must be heading up to Grand Rapids. So that's Friday night. And then on Saturday, Dave of Trampled by Turtles coming to town. He's doing a solo show. Last time he was around, he did a Dead Man Winter show, but he is going to be at the Rife Center Saturday night at 7 o'clock. And then over in Duluth, Mason Jennings, also Saturday at 7:30. So lots of music around the area. Again, you can keep your eye out for the set list, kaxc.org, on Wednesdays. But if you've kind of slept off the food and made it through the storm, if you're looking to go out and take in some music, there are a lot of options on the way this weekend.
Yeah, that's tons of options. You can cut your own Christmas tree in the Superior or Chippewa National Forest. You do have to get a permit. Those are available at recreation.gov, or you may stop by a district office to get a permit. They'll let you know exactly, you know, where you can go, how to do it, all that stuff. You said you were coming back from the cities this weekend and you saw lots of Christmas trees on vehicles.
Lots of trees on vehicles. So that is much too early for me, but respect to them for getting in the festive spirit. But yeah, a lot of trees on top of cars this weekend as I was making my way back up from the cities. So I went down to the Minnesota Frost home opener.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which they lost, unfortunately, to the Toronto Scepters. Toronto's goalie played amazing. Minnesota, I would say, outplayed them. They had more shots. They looked like the better team. But, you know, when your goalie standing on their head, then there's nothing you can do about it. But it was so fun. There was like 50 different youth girls hockey teams. And this is my first Frost game. So I don't know if this is a regular occurrence there or if it's kind of like opening night. A lot of them went out. But you know, they're going wild on the Jumbotron. They're everywhere. They're all wearing their team jackets. I actually ran into my niece.
Oh, wow.
Unplanned.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was walking down to my seat, my group, and I said, and she's like, what are you doing here? It's hilarious. Anyways, that was my weekend. Yeah, saw a lot of Christmas trees, but go to a Minnesota Frost game if you get the chance. Super fun. They're so talented. They're so fast. It's such fun hockey. And obviously, they've won 2 championships in a row, so women always carrying Minnesota sports.
They sure do. And they play at the, it's newly renamed. The XL has been named the Grand Casino something or other.
Yes.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly what the words are. I've messed it up like 20 times. I keep wanting to say of Hinckley.
Oh.
But Hinckley's not involved. It's just the Grand Casino Arena, I think.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah, because there are 2 Grand Casinos in the state. There's the one in Mille Lacs.
There are?
Yeah, that you drive by.
Oh, I drive by that one all the time now.
Yeah, if you go down 169, it's right there by just north of Onamia. And
yes,
okay. The one in Hinckley.
Yeah, I think I have a hard time with casino names. They're all like sort of in the same wheelhouse. It's hard for me to be like, this one's here, this one's here.
Yeah.
This name's here. I didn't know that though. I guess Anyways, yeah, they renamed it. Still the same arena though. But yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Good. So. Yes. Support women's sports. Coming up in just a few minutes, we are going to hear a special edition of the Up North Report, Chelsea Perkins on the potential of manganese mining in Emily. So that is coming up. We'll have more ahead from Morning Edition and at 9 o'clock, as we've mentioned, DJ Dane, your host for Headwaters. Keep sending in those song suggestions on colors. There sure are a lot. And we heard from Marion Castlake, who says, I'm not excited about the snow personally. I have to say, I wish it would wait till after Thanksgiving. That would be my hope.
Yes. Yes. And Mary is got a tough job.
Yes.
Absolutely do not want any snow,
kids around, on a bus.
Yes. So absolutely hold off. Or if it comes at a time that doesn't affect driving, but this week might be doesn't look like that's going to be the case, but yeah, always thank you to Mary for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I would be scared.
Yeah, it seems
scared to drive.
Stressful.
Yeah,
a little bit.
I don't even like to get in the car with myself. I'm trying to avoid it whenever I can.
Being in charge of other people's children is a big deal.
So thank you for doing that. And
yes,
yeah, hopefully
thanks to all of our bus drivers.
Stay tuned to KXC again. We'll be chatting more about that. Should have a better idea because it is pretty varied around the area. Mm-hmm. By Tuesday morning, especially, Tornado Bob will be on. Lots of different nature notes with John Latimer, the Phenology Show Tuesday mornings. But they'll be taking a deeper dive into what is on the way later on in the day tomorrow.
Yes. Support for KAXC comes from Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering pool tables, hot tubs, saunas, and more. Learn more online at hottubsmn.com.
We also receive support from the Bush Foundation, proud to partner with the St. Paul and Minnesota Foundation to celebrate the honorees of the 2025 Bush Prize Minnesota, Foster Advocates, and Dakota Wekohan. More information online at spmfc.org.
We also thank Happy Dancing Turtle, a nonprofit organization dedicated to growing stewards through education programs and experiences. More information at happydancingturtle.org. It's time now for the Up North Report.
For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with a special edition of the Up North Report.
Everybody get their own baseline. Get manganese tested on your water.
Tracy, if I can, this is a point I should jump in.
People in the audience of an overflowing Emily City Council chambers last week occasionally interjected and applauded as members heard an update on a potential manganese mining operation. Councilmember Dan Brennan was the one who jumped in at this moment, directing questions to North Star Manganese CEO Rick Sandry. Sandry was at the meeting to share the latest updates on a project that's been on the table for at least 17 years. A third-party study of a possible mine, known as a preliminary economic assessment, shows that not only is it financially viable, but it could make back its investment in less than 2 years. There's a whole heap of steps that the company needs to undertake now. Sandry likened the report to them having graduated kindergarten. There's pre-feasibility reports and feasibility reports and environmental testing, not to mention a likely many years-long permitting process before a mine could open. But what the people of Emily want to know is, when are they going to test the drinking water? And is that water in danger of contamination if an underground mine were to be built? Brennan joined the council in 2024, but he's long been a part of the Emily Mine Information Group, a citizen organization conducting its own research. He says the group took on testing on its own when it became clear that promises weren't being kept by those involved in the exploration before North Star Manganese.
It seems to me that more can be being done to assess the impacts here as well as for you and your bottom line.
Well, that's where the next phase of our activity is to do that. Had we come up with a bad answer on a PEA, we would be telling everybody thank you very much for allowing us to participate up here, pick up our shoes and go somewhere else to look for another project.
Some of the first exploratory drilling in Emily occurred decades ago in the late 1940s and early 1950s. Various drilling efforts by different mining companies, including in 2023 by North Star, gave insight into what was locked deep below the earth, billions of pounds of rich manganese ore. An accelerated push toward clean energy alternatives and a growing market for electric vehicles and other battery-powered technologies reignited interest in the site's potential. Manganese is one of the metals used in battery production, combined with nickel and cobalt to increase energy storage capacity. While the element is one of the most plentiful on the planet, a small sliver appears to be pure enough for battery use, and signs so far point to Emily's deposit containing that high-quality ore. If the mine moves forward, it would be the only such operation on the continent in a marketplace where most of the mining is happening in Africa and processing in China. The report predicts the mine lifespan would be at least 23 years, producing 400,000 tons of manganese annually. Mayor Tracy Jones asked Sandrew to explain in the simplest terms possible what the benefits would be for Emily residents.
You know, 25 years of activity here that people will be buying from the ACE, going to, you know, local restaurants and things of that sort. So that kind of base.
He also pointed to cash payments per ton of material, a plethora of taxes levied by the state that benefit the local governments, and about 100 high-paying mining jobs. 30-year councilmember Gary Hansen, who described himself as among the skeptics, responded.
But Rick, you got to keep in mind, no amount of money replaces what we have here.
This is, and I fully support that.
Sandry said he views this project as his parting legacy in a long career, and it's important to him to get it right.
I'm an environmentalist that's in the mining industry. I believe that things need to be done correctly to be able to utilize the assets that God gave us on this planet. But I believe we should utilize the assets. So I come from that side of the use. And I don't want it to be my reputation or on my tombstone that I caused issues at Emily.
There's more to this story. Find photos and diagrams and more at KAXE.org. That's it for this special edition of the Up North Report from the KAXE News Desk. I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
That's the Up North Report. You can hear the latest edition today at 5:30 during All Things Considered. You can hear that show from 4 to 6 with your local host, Andrew DeZingle. 6 o'clock in the evening, we always play As It Happens, news from a Canadian perspective. And then tonight at 7, DJ the DJ, your volunteer host for a great mix of music on the river.
This is the Monday morning show here on KEXC. And one of the things we've been talking about, our question of the week is, what are you thankful for with Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday? Wanted to really shout out our news team for putting together a list of food-related resources across northern Minnesota. Hours of operation, locations, information on soup kitchens and community meals. That's all at KEXC.org. And you can email the news team if there are additional resources in your region that we should get up there as well. So that is something going on throughout this season that I really wanted to highlight that is available. What else? Also got some... other things on that kind of a similar topic, I think, that are cool to see. My Neighbor to Love Coalition in Brainerd, they've been working to end homelessness for 30 neighbors this December. They are almost complete on 19 units at Creekside Community, but funds are needed to purchase some of the basic household furnishings for those. You can learn more at mntlc.org/donate.
Yeah, we had a great conversation last Monday with Vicky from My Neighbor to Love Coalition. You can listen to that story and learn more at KAXE.org. Also, the United Way of Bemidji Area's Holiday Gifts for Kids program is now accepting new unwrapped gifts for those ages newborn through 17. Donations may be dropped at several locations in Bemidji now through December 8th. You can find a list of those locations, or if you need a registration form, if you are a family that would like gifts, you can find that at UnitedWayBemidji.org.
We have been looking for your color song suggestions all morning long. DJ Dang will be running through those on the request line. Bill from Wabana chimed in with Jefferson Airplane's White Rabbit. There we go. Definitely Some good mentions of different colors in that one. That is the theme broadly, to chase away or combat kind of the grays that often are present skies and colors of November before the snows have rolled around. It is a beautiful blue sky day, and we do have some snow on the way this week. But that was the theme reasoning for Dan's request line. So keep those songs coming in. Had lots of them so far this morning. And it's always nice to have when you're hosting a request show, to have a real nice kind of base, or like a whole plethora of things to choose from and put together your shows. So lots of time to continue sending those in for Dan to 218-326-1234.
We're going to hear some new music right now. We've been hearing from the Womack Sisters, a very fun group. Have a bit of connection to Bobby Womack.
Yes.
Sam Cooke.
Yes. And their family. Yeah, their family is... There's a lot going on. There should be some sort of docuseries about the family going on there. Who's marrying who? Someone, it's one of those ones where you end up with like your uncles, your dad. I'm making that up. But, those kind of situations where like different generations get crossed, so that like someone is simultaneously you're this and you're that. Long story short, they are related to Sam Cooke. And they are making some incredible music so far. Only two songs out. Yeah.
Yeah. So, this one from the Womack Sisters called If You Want Me. Womack Sisters, that is new music, but some real good throwback sounds there. That's called If You Want Me.
Yeah, and something about those bells at the start, mm-hmm. Obviously, just kind of getting you ready for some holiday tunes later on this year.
Yeah.
Oh, man, both those songs they've put out this year are so, so good. I'm really looking forward to what comes more from the Womack Sisters.
Yeah, it's like we've got a whole new year of music to look forward to. I kind of always love that at the end of the year. It's like, ooh, what's going to even happen? In the
I know. Year? It's like, and it's fun to look back, too.
It is, yeah. We'll be doing that, I know, at the end of the year.
Yep, we're going to have lots of year-end lists, just different staff favorites from the music team, from volunteers, kind of looking back at what has come. I think that, again, we've been doing kind of remembering different artists who passed away throughout the year. So just stay tuned for that as we are. It's already something we've been thinking about what we're going to be playing. Obviously, you know, we get some new Christmas music on out there. We do keep in touch with, and I love a new Christmas album, I'll be honest. I love when an artist makes like a, you know, covers are good too, but I do love a, there's usually one or two, I would say, that really blow me away per year, like new original Christmas music. Yeah. So stay tuned for all that. I don't even know why I'm saying that. I don't like to do Christmas stuff until like a week before Christmas, but
it's coming though.
It is coming and the snow is coming. We have a winter storm watch in effect starting at noon tomorrow to at least noon on Wednesday. You know, we've got this very broad range, 3 to 10 inches of snow. Obviously, it's a big variance around the area depending on where you are at. Wind gusting up to 35 miles an hour. Slippery road conditions are expected. And it looks like most of that snow heavy at times Tuesday, tomorrow, highs near 35, but continuing overnight and then a slight chance of snow before noon on Wednesday. If you got holiday travel plans or you got to move around on those days as well, obviously take it easy. Keep that in mind that we've got our first real slippery event heading our way. So today it's, you wouldn't know with today with the blue skies and sun shining and getting up
50 degrees,
getting up near 50, but that is coming our way. Which I was as a kid, I always like. I remember liking. That was kind of how I would think of years. Was like, was there snow on Thanksgiving? Basically, as like the starter. Now, where I grew up, there's never snow on Thanksgiving. There's barely even snow on Christmas. So depressing. Want. But
we're ready.
Yeah.
Support comes from Hibbing Chrysler Center, serving the Northland for over 25 years. On the Beltline in Hibbing, their service center provides regular maintenance and major auto repairs weekdays from 7:30 to 5:30. More details online at HibbingChrysler.us.
Coming up at 9 o'clock, it will be DJ Dang hosting Headwaters from 9 to 11. Got the request line in that time. Todd and Tiffany are going to be hosting On the River at 1 p.m. today. This is the Monday Morning Show. Let's head back to Morning Edition.
Morning Edition.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from Focus Features, presenting Hamnet, directed by Chloe Zhao, starring Jesse Buckley and Paul Mescal, in select theaters Wednesday, everywhere December 5th. From Capital One, offering their dining and entertainment card, Saver. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. And from the Skoll Foundation, dedicated to powering social innovators to transform the world. Learn more at skoll.org.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Michelle Martin. Every year we ask everybody who works at NPR, and I mean everybody, what their favorite books of the year were. We pull this together and present it to you as an interactive guide called Books We Love. Here to tell us about some nonfiction books that made the cut this year is Andrew Limbong. He hosts NPR's Book of the Day podcast. Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, Michelle.
So for the unfamiliar, tell us a bit more about Books We Love.
Yeah, it's something we've been doing since about 2013. Like you said, we ask everyone what they love. So yeah, we've got our books team, including writers and critics, but across NPR, we're asking people. So we've got producers, editors, folks on the business side, you know, all sharing what they enjoyed reading. And this year, we've got about 380 entries, you know, in the neighborhood of that. I know that's big, but it's all organized by tags. So it's not just fiction and nonfiction, but also book club ideas, love and romance for sports lovers. And you can mix and stack the tags so you can really key in on what you or the reader in your life is really into.
All right. With that being said, we're going to talk about nonfiction books today. What have you got for us?
All right. Let's start with a good biography. Michelle, have you ever noticed how there's more pockets in menswear than there are in womenswear.
So annoying. So annoying. Yes.
Yeah, right? This pocket gender disparity was something fashion designer Claire McCardle wanted to solve. She was working mainly in the 1930s and 40s and redefining what American womenswear could be, right? So she turned it into something more sporty and practical, but still beautiful. And she's the subject of a biography by Elizabeth Evetts Dickinson titled Claire McCardle, The Designer Who Set Women Free. And, you know, like a lot of good biographies, it's not just about McCardle as a designer, but it's also about America's search for its own aesthetic identity.
You know, we have a lot of history fans out there, so any kind of deep history books on the list?
Yeah, Mary Annette Pember is a correspondent at ICT News. Michelle, I think you might remember that as Indian Country Today. She's got a book out titled Medicine River, A Story of Survival and the Legacy of Indian Boarding Schools. It's about these brutal schools funded by the federal government that works to forcefully assimilate Native American kids, right? Giving them English names and forcing them into Christianity. And these schools were around from the 1800s through the 1970s. And it's a deeply reported story that Pember has direct ties to through her family.
So, Andrew, though, even though we're talking about nonfiction, there are a few books on here that are about some of the biggest names in fiction, right?
Yeah, real quick, there's Tony at Random by Dana A. Williams, which is about the famous writer Toni Morrison, but it focuses on her time as an editor, right? And I think you can argue that she had just as big of an impact on literature from that perch as she did as a writer, right? She was working with Muhammad Ali and Angela Davis, and she wasn't just, you know, like line editing their copy, but really championing her writers in the publishing offices. And then there's the new biography of James Baldwin by Nicholas Boggs called Baldwin, A Love Story. Michelle, you talked to Boggs, right? What'd you think of the book?
Oh, man. Highest recommendation. I mean, if you know a lot about Baldwin, you learn things. If you don't know a lot about Baldwin, I mean, it really will whet your appetite. I just had no idea what a footprint he had. I just can't say enough about it.
Yeah, it'll more than whet your appetite. It's huge, right? It's like a good 600 pages, yeah.
That's right. That is NPR's Andrew Limbong. For more book recommendations, head to npr.org/bestbooks. Andrew, thank you.
Thanks, Michelle.
This is NPR News.
It's 8:49. Thanks for listening to the Monday Morning Show here on People Powered KAXE. I'm Jennifer Barr with Malachi Coons.
Thank you for joining us. Wow, just to get a moment of that Dave Brubeck classic there. Make sure to turn in, as always, for our jazz shows on the weekend here on KAXE. Also had some more folks sending in some songs for us to listen to. We've had lots of suggestions. Oranges by Clyde Lawrence. Had someone send that one in. And also White Bird, which I was not familiar with, by It's a Beautiful Day.
I think you'd know that song if you heard it.
I think I would too, based on what we've been reading. These are all songs that have colors in them, about colors, in any way, shape, or form having to do with colors. That's for the request line today at 10:30 here on KAXE. That is part of Headwaters, which begins in just about 10 minutes with DJ Dang. We receive support from The Forge in Grand Rapids, offering a space where students, entrepreneurs, and workers can bring their ideas to evolve into products, careers, or businesses. Building a culture of innovation and diversity in the heart of Itasca County. Learn more at The Forge, itasca.org, where ideas take shape.
We also thank the Timberlake Restaurant in Grand Rapids, featuring Martini Monday each week from 5 to 8 p.m. More information at timberlakelodgehotel.com.
And the North Homes Children and Family Services, providing mental health care in Minnesota. November is National Adoption Awareness Month, highlighting the need for adoptive and foster care families. North Homes provides licensing and case management for those opening their heart and home. More information available at northhomes.org.
And the Brainerd Noon Sertoma Club presents Winter Wonderland, a drive-through light display at Northland Arboretum in Brainerd that starts Thanksgiving night. It will run Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays from 5:30 to 8, plus the full week between Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. You can get advance tickets at BrainerdNoonSertoma.org.
The Grand Rapids Centennial Rotary Club has a free Thanksgiving meal this Thursday from 11 to 1 at St. Joseph Catholic Church. If you would like your meal delivered, place your order by tomorrow by contacting Elder Circle.
Also in Hibbing, the Salvation Army has a free Thanksgiving meal that will be Wednesday night, 4 to 6. The event also features games, crafts, and karaoke. Our question of the week is all about what you are grateful for. Sometimes it's just you come up on Thanksgiving and we don't think about it a whole lot, but it's really a time to think about those things that really mean something to us and that we're glad for. So it's like you kind of come up with the basic things, right?
Yes, that's I was gonna go for a low hanging fruit, but an important one.
Yeah.
I was gonna, you know, gotta say not heading back to be with my parents this Thanksgiving, so doing a little Friendsgiving action. So very grateful for friends, community broadly, I would say, as we are kind of going to, you know, everyone's going to chip in potluck style, bring something, and just get together and hang out. So
yeah,
very much looking forward to that. More about the food and community. But yeah, that's what I'll go with. One of those broad ones. But I've often driven back to my hometown, done the family one, but this year, kind of looking forward to doing a little Friendsgiving action.
Yeah, that sounds good. I am going to be with my parents, and I'm very grateful. I still get to go to the house I grew up in, which just, it feels like a warm hug every time I'm there, and I just love that house so much, and very grateful for that, and that my parents are doing well, and get to spend some time with my son who's been in college, so very excited for that and grateful to have that time together.
Yeah, that is that's really interesting. I know, if like not that common, you don't hear to still get, because I am also hoping that I can still go back to that house as long as long as I can.
Yeah
For sure. Same one that I born at, so
yep,
we'll see. Not kind of, you know.
Yeah, and my dad built our house, you know.
That's even more special.
Pretty much by himself, you know. He's a great carpenter. I mean, he had help on, you know, obviously the big things, but yeah. So it just feels like you know, it was made just for me. So
yeah, and that's especially so with the holidays. It's just part of like where you have all your traditions wrapped up and everything like that. To make the trek back to that spot. Yeah. Wow.
So yeah,
Sweet. Let us know what you are. Yeah.
Let us know what you're grateful for. You can text in 218-326-1234. We'd love to hear from you.
That is a great place to chime in with the many different things we have going on. You can also send in tips about different things going on in your area as well, along with things like Request Line or our Album of the Week or any songs that you hear here on KEXC or what the weather's like. Yeah, I'm sure tomorrow there will be, you know, you see the first snowflakes or whatever it might be, send those in as well for reporting on our first winter storm heading our way.
Yeah. It's always great to hear from people what road conditions are like. Obviously, don't text while you're driving, but once you get someplace, you can let us know how it was.
Yes.
It's always, we've got this network of people kind of keeping us informed, and it's very fun.
Yeah, it's like citizen science or citizen reporting or, just kind of scattered all over the place, even beyond Minnesota. It's always, we'll probably have some folks listening from Florida and Arizona.
I know we do.
And they're, this is probably what they live for. Like, finally, this is why we left.
Yeah, getting to hear all about a snowstorm and you don't have to deal with it.
Yes, again, which is why not having to shovel, I'm like, bring it on, baby. But sorry to use who have to throw your back out.
Yeah, now, so if it's very snowy, you still will plan to ride your bike?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. It's all ready. I got it out. You know, did just a few checkups because I put that one away for the summer. It doesn't really like work that well because it's gotten pretty rusty from using it in the winter. So it's not that fun to do it in the summer, but it's back out. It's ready to go. I mean, it doesn't work that well if like we get a huge amount of snow and it doesn't really like an amount that you can't get taken care of very quickly, which is it's not what's on the way this week. So I should be fine. But yeah, you know, you just kind of do it. And
yeah,
I don't know. You don't need a fat tire or anything. Just kind of cruise around and it works.
Yeah, looking like probably more like 3 to 7 inches for most of the area. Some places could get up to 10 inches we're looking at right now. Again, it's very dependent
and it has
on
changed.
Where you are.
Yes, probably will change again. So just be sure to keep an eye on that out, especially because it is the travel season.
We are going to hear a bit of a song right now. This one was part of the Judge That Jam, which happened back in October. This is new from Valerie June. It's called Runnin' and Searchin'. Sounds from Valerie June here on the Monday Morning Show on 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXC Bagley, Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We're people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. You can join us at KAXE.org.
It is 31 degrees in Grand Rapids, 28 in Bemidji, a little bit warmer to our south, up to 36 in Brainerd right now, actually up to 38, maybe some fog there. Thank you for tuning in to the Monday Morning Show. Coming up at 1, Todd and Tiffany Swenson hosting On the River. But right now, it's 9 o'clock. It is time